Okay. So money is actually talked about quite a bit in the Bible. I think it's Jesus talks about it more than anything else, which may surprise some of you, may not surprise some of you. I have here in the notes 2,350 verses on money and possessions. So a lot of verses. So it is a big deal. And you kind of wonder why. And you see Jesus teach about it pretty clearly. You know, Jesus talks about you cannot serve two masters. You can't love money and God. Essentially, he speaks to it pretty directly. And the clear sense you get is that it's just a dangerous thing. It's just a dangerous area, and it's a trap for many. You know, you see examples of, like, the rich young ruler in the New Testament, where Jesus is like, this is the one thing you lack. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. And then the guy's, like, sad because he has great possessions. And then Jesus says, man, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? That's the whole, like, camel going through an eye of a needle illustration. It's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle. And the disciples are like, oh, how can we be saved? And he's like, with God, all things are possible. But it's a big deal. And it's a serious area where, especially for us in our culture, we can fall into traps pretty easily, and I think even subtly, without even recognizing it. So overarching thought for you guys is just to remember that God owns everything. And you probably know that intellectually. You're like, oh yes, God is overall and sovereign. But just to remember that, that's a hard perspective to come back to a lot of times. And for each of us, it's a little different. For some of you guys, maybe it's with your stuff. Like, oh, I don't want anyone to borrow my car because it's a Subaru and those are very precious cars, and, you know, whatever it is. That was my first car, it was a Subaru. That's what I thought of it. Everyone in the Pacific Northwest drives a Subaru. That's the car you get when you first get a car, or get a car anytime. So some of you guys, it might be money, like how you handle your finances. It may be very difficult to remember that God owns everything. For some of you guys, it may be in an abundance when you're like, oh yeah, I gotta remember that this is God's. All this pile of money I'm swimming in daily, you know, this is God's and I want to honor God with it. For most of us, it's probably the flip side of that, where it can be tough to trust God in this area, especially in financial hardship or when things are tough or when unexpected things come up. It can just be a hard area to remember that God owns everything. God is actually in control. But for you guys, just remember that your stuff, your resources, your money, that is all God's. And he has given us this great opportunity to handle our possessions, really, God's possessions, God's money, with the idea of stewardship. So God owns everything. He's entrusted it to us. And so for us to really consider it an area that, you know, there's a lot of freedom in, just like other things that God has blessed us with, but to just look at it with a sober perspective of this is God's, okay, and how am I going to honor God with my resources, with my finances, and so to treat it as you would other areas of, I'm going to pursue excellence in this. Pray about it and consider it. Don't just live like haphazardly or just, oh, this is what other people do, so I'm just going to do this. But really think, how does God want me to use my resources and honor God with my money? So very practical. A great place to start is to have a plan, aka a budget. This is something that I am not strong in, is planning in general, but especially budgeting is a weakness. I feel like I'm writing left-handed when I'm trying to budget. It's a struggle for me, but it's been something that's been very helpful for us to have. A good place to start, if you've never done a budget before, a lot of you guys probably have, is 80-10-10. Which is just a model that we had heard, which can be a good place to start, is 80% you live on, 10 you save, 10 you give. So very straightforward. Biblically, the model we see is 10% of tithing. There's not a command that says you were commanded to do this, but it's something we see modeled a ton, that God really values the first fruits. In the Old Testament especially, people would tithe 10%. Of their produce or whatever their resources, be it a tithe to God. On top of that, they had several offerings that they would be involved in. So it would be around 20% is really what they were giving. And so for each of you guys, it's just a matter of you guys pray about it. Maybe even study, read the scriptures, read some books on it, and try to land on where you guys are at with us, but I encourage you guys to make a budget and involve giving. And I think 10% is a great place to start. If you're able to do more, that's great. But for you guys to start with that, and then saving is really good too. And then 80% to live on. Tons of different thoughts about out there, schools of thought about budgeting. So that's a great place for you guys to just get input and ask people what they do. If you've already done it and you feel like you're in a great spot, then just involve your spouse in it, and you guys put your heads together and come up with a plan that you guys are excited about. These two areas, by the way, as a quick aside, sex and money tend to be the two most frequent conflict areas in marriages. So just be aware of that. You guys may be coming from totally different perspectives, different spending habits, different family backgrounds, different views of money, different experiences. So just know this is a place where you guys may have conflict on, but a great place for you guys to really build that unity and trust. Debt. Bible talks about debt. There's different views on this too, but in Old Testament it says the borrower is slave to the lender. So just know, just take on debt very soberly if you do it. Some people are like, never take on debt ever, not in any circumstances. Some people will say, oh, debt is okay in these instances, a house or student loan or whatever. There's tons of different philosophies out there. And the Bible does not say do not take it on. It just says, look, this is the reality. If you take on debt, you are a slave. And it's like having an anchor around your neck until you pay this debt off. You're in debt to the lender. So just look at it soberly. And we especially share that because our culture is so like debt crazy, right? It's like credit card, credit card, credit card. I'm using this credit card to pay off this one, and just whole of debt. And there's people I know that have gotten so much debt that they're like, this is just how I'm going to live, is I'm just in debt and I'm chipping away at each of these things, but will not make enough unless, something huge happens to pay off these things. And so constant state of debt. And it's just a trap. It can really affect your guys' freedom in a lot of ways and affect your lifestyle. So it's very restrictive. So just view it very soberly. And if you want, again, it's an area where you guys can get a lot of input. If you guys are thinking about buying a house, get input, tons of input. If you guys are thinking about buying a car, get tons of input. If you're, if you're thinking about doing a budget where, like Rick Warren, where it's inverse tithing, where you live on 10% and tithe 90%, then, get input on that too, which he can because, he wrote all these books that a lot of Christians buy. So it's just an area of warning and getting input on it. So, let's see. Talk openly and honestly about money. Again, it just can be a source of a lot of conflict in marriages. If you guys experienced that at all already, just kind of different points of view on money or finances. A little bit, yeah. I've yet to meet a couple where they're like, oh yeah, we had the exact same like spending habits and like thoughts about money. You guys? Are you guys like, oh, a little different? Yeah. Okay. Let the record show that Steve and Whitney are with everyone else. Okay. Good. Yeah, I've met to meet a couple who's like, we have the same spending habits. So this can just be a source of conflict for people. Megan and I have experienced this ourselves too. I'm like, money burns a hole in my pocket, man. I love spending me some dough. I'm not a big spender, but and she is very much like, we gotta save, and saving's good. But we just have different perspectives. But I also grew up with less resources, and my mom was a single mom, and so I just kind of got scholarships and did what I could, and so I just have a different perspective of, oh yeah, okay, well, I'm gonna work for this and take care of it and whatever. But anyways, it's just we're coming from different perspectives, and it's been something where we've had to like work at it and get help and get input and talk about it. But as much as you guys can communicate about it, you'll see this with sex too, as much as you guys can communicate, it'll really help you guys be on the same page. And just remember a couple key things. Just for, we talked about roles before, just that you fellas would just have a clear sense of ownership and responsibility here. Even if your wife is doing all the finances, she's more gifted at you at it than you are, fantastic. God bless her. Just make sure that you are invested and you have ownership of it, and you feel the weight of, okay, this is ultimately the buck stops with me. no pun intended there, but just having a sense of I own this area and I feel the weight of it. You guys have any questions about that so far?
Yeah.
Nick?
I don't know if you have anything specific or not, but you mentioned like, hey, I would encourage you to maybe read a book about giving or tithing or budget. Sure. Or read the scripture. Like, are there specific, any specific passages or books that, I don't know, have been helpful to you?
Yeah. Not off the top of my head. I think we read some of Dave Ramsey's, whatever it was, Total Money Makeover or something. It was a while ago. He's definitely more on the conservative side,
yeah.
But I think that's a good place to start from. And then other than that, I'm not really sure. You guys may have good recommendations. For us, it was mostly like talking to people and getting input about it. And then just if you're like wondering about, you know, what does the Bible teach about tithing or whatever, I don't have any good books off the top of my head, but I would just try to, you know, you can Google online and see, try to find some of the verses that are talking about money, both Old Testament and New Testament, and see for yourself or go through it that way. But I don't have any like books off the top of my head that are like, oh, this is a great like, you know, Christian book about, you know, the biblical view of money and finances, but I'm sure there's some out there. So, any of you guys have any recommendations or books you guys have read? Or
I know my dad has taught the Financial Peace University
class. Oh yeah, yeah.
Times, so that cool. Seems helpful.
Oh great. Yes, I've heard great things about that. Mm-hmm. Who does that?
Do you know? We did it at Vineyard.
Okay.
At Vineyard.
Okay.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Super helpful.
So yes, and I think. Launch did that, maybe someone, maybe the stats led through.
Yeah.
It who did
the Porters?
Oh yeah, yeah, yep. So that could be good,
yeah,
for you guys to do together. I think especially if it's like a continual like source of tension or whatever, I think that could be great, so that you just do it together and just provides fodder for getting on the same page and figuring out what you think about it.
I think it helped us have things to talk about.
Yeah,
so we're like
well, yeah,
I would like ask you specific questions. Mm-hmm. Which I think was helpful.
Yeah, I would encourage you guys to give. One of the things that's been most exciting for us as a couple is being able to give. And again, it's something that is not always easy because we tend to think, oh, there's all these other things we could do, or we could do this with that. But for you guys to start early giving and getting in that pattern is really good. It's tempting to think years from now when we make X money or, you know, whatever, we'll be able to give then. But that's seldom the way it goes. Usually it's like if you set the precedent now, you give when you're making, you know, $20,000 a year, then it's going to be way easier to give when you're making $60,000 a year or whatever. So start that now, and we've seen this, you can't outgive God. Like, there are biblical principles about God blessing those who are generous and even giving back. And we've noticed that, you know, even random crazy things happen that we can only attribute to God because of steps of faith that we feel like kind of prompted to give in this way. And then God has like blessed us. So just keep that on your radar screen. And it's great, it's like helps you guys kind of like feel on mission, be on mission together when you guys are teamed up giving. So I'd encourage you guys to do that and start early too. So have you guys had a good, like, chance to dialogue about finances for the most part, to varying degrees? You guys have, Justin and Aaron?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, more or less. I know stuff's coming up for you guys. Looking at buying a house, yeah. Brett and Trisha, you guys have talked for the most part?
Beginning from very different places.
Yes, sure, sure. Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, just encourage you guys, when you guys talk with your mentor couples, to hit that one hard too, because that's just a great place for you guys to go deep. And it just tends to be a catalyst for other issues that don't have anything to do with money coming up that are great fodder for you guys. So, I think that's it. I mean, that was very basic, so... Are there any, you guys have any other questions about principles of money. This is very much like, this is kind of the principal time. I know I didn't give you guys a ton, but God owns it all. Get a plan. Make a plan and just know the seriousness of debt. And just know the seriousness of money, right? It's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil, not money itself. So it's okay to make lots of money, but just know that there's a lot of danger and a lot of warning that we see in Scripture. So great. Okay. Well, let me give you guys some questions to discuss. How does your family background affect your view of money, your view slash handling of money? Trying to kind of combine a couple questions into one. Just think through how you grew up, what you experienced, and what did that teach you about money? How did it affect your view of money, and how did it affect the way you handle money? So it's kind of like the view, but also the practice. How do you practically handle money? Part two is, what concerns do you have going into marriage in this area of finances? And part three is for you guys to make a tentative budget. It can be a very bare bones one. It can be 80-10-10 if you want to. Like, that can be it. Or you guys pray about those numbers. We're going to live on 70, save 20, give 10, or whatever. Or it can be as detailed as you want. If you're like, oh, we like doing this stuff, let's sit down and we know exactly what we'll be making when we're married. We know what our expenses are going to be. It's a great time now to start hammering that out, start praying about it. Again, this is, you know, it's one of those things where you learn as you go, so don't feel pressure to be like, we have to have this all together before we get married or within the first month of marriage. But for you guys to get a jump start on it, it can be great. You guys need me to repeat any of those three parts? All right, that's what I'm going to be doing to BK. Three. That is I.
We were playing basketball. I made the 3-point on my eye signal.